Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
Would you prefer, is a team better because they beat Maine three times, or do they play real games? Get over it.
Ross Gellinger.
Penix, Pat and I were at the Sugar Bowl. It looks like a different person.
And SI's Pat 40.
I'm outraged. I'm outraged. Washington fans want holding calls. I want a bar that stays open later than 2 when you don't get back to the hotel till 1:50. Come on.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod. Hail to the victors valiant. Hail to the conquering heroes. Hail, Michigan. Leaders and the best. Hail to the victors valiant. Hail to the conquering heroes.
You're going to read the whole thing, aren't you?
No. I didn't know that they started repeating already. Hail to Michigan, the champions of the West.
There we go.
There you go.
Their dramatic lyrical rendition.
Mm-hmm. 34-13, Michigan Wolverines over the Washington Huskies. 15-0, Michigan national champions. Jim Harbaugh said, last guy standing. We took on all comers. We're last guy standing.
And thus innocent, I believe.
Also, he's innocent.
Yeah, very innocent.
They're innocent. Also, he referred to Donovan Edwards as a trusted agent and known friend. He had all the lines. Who's got it better than us?
Yep.
Obviously, nobody. He was running around with that one. He called He called Mikey Sanderstrill. At the big interception, an amazing stalwart of a player. He talks like a 1930s radio host. It was the full Harbaugh effect.
Yes.
On Monday, and you know what? To the victors go the spoils, and they are the victors. Michigan doesn't win national championships. This is a new champion, and it is a champion I don't know that I ever thought would actually occur. They have a share of the 1997 title. Before that, it was 1948.
Benny Oosterbond.
Yeah, they went 9-0. I have no idea what the hell was going on in 1948, but I think these guys would have kicked their ass. I didn't think, Michigan, they're good. Good program, fun place to go watch a game, all that. Never really was ultimately serious. Here they are winning the national title under Jim Harbaugh. Pat, your thoughts on just that sheer fact. We'll get into the game. We'll get into a too early top 25 and all sorts of other, who knows. We are post-game back at the JW Marriott.
Clink, clink, clink.
Galleria. There is may or may not be alcohol involved.
There is absolutely alcohol involved, bourbon, but not enough
whiskey.
Of it.
No.
It's 2:15 a.m. Central, and Texas state law shut down the bar in the hospitality room at 2.
Let's get to the real issues of the day.
I'm outraged.
That's right.
I'm outraged. Washington fans want holding calls. I want a bar that stays open later than 2 when you don't get back to the hotel till 1:50. Come on.
Hospitality suite turned into a hostility suite very quickly.
Yes.
I mean, what the hell, Texas?
Come on. There's no laws in Texas.
I can grow like 95 miles an hour with 2 shotguns slamming outside the windows, but I can't get a damn
at 2:01.
Walker on the ice at 2:01.
That's right. At 2:01 a.m., you can probably rent a helicopter to go shoot wild feral pigs, but you cannot get a beer.
As you should. You have a lot of good ideas, Texas, but this is not one of you.
It's not. Anyway, to the point at hand, unbelievable season from Michigan. Dominant season. They had 2 close games. Ohio State, where they never trailed, and then Alabama, where they were pushed to the brink and won in overtime. But otherwise, 15-0, a strong 15-0, and they did. They handled all comers, as Jim Harbaugh said, and they were incredible at the line of scrimmage. They were, and I'm not just talking about tonight, all season long, incredible at the line of scrimmage, good enough in the passing game to be diverse. Their defense was fantastic at every level. They were a well-coached team, and they put it together, and they got over the hump that they hadn't been able to. And that was a triumph, basically, of collective will, I think, in a gathering and saying, you know what, we've got to get just a little better. We're good enough to make the playoff. We've got to get better if we want to win national championship. And they did it. They kept a bunch of guys in school. You know, there were a bunch of – there was an old team, a bunch of fifth-year guys, fourth-year, fifth-year. And there is no doubt you can talk about Connor Stallions, and we will. You can talk about impermissible recruiting in the COVID dead period, and we will. But there's no doubt who was the best team in the country this year, Michigan.
Yeah, that was kind of the post-game theme, I guess, when you talk to players and even coaches was, see, it wasn't just the sign stealing. We were really good, and here was the latest example of why we were good. Some really pretty incredible quotes from some players. This is Kenneth Grant said, all the haters have to watch us win the championships. They can hate all they want. McGregor, Braden McGregor said, you know, we're legends. We got out here. Nobody can say anything now. We proved the doubters wrong all year. Put our head down, kept going. We're natty champs now. And then, of course, spent a lot of time with Ward Manuel, who shot down any talk of an asterisk next to this championship, which I think for a lot of people in the country, this championship will probably have an asterisk next to it in some way. And I guess we'll know more after the NCAA investigation and all that come out. But I asked Ward Manuel, I just said one word. I said asterisk. And he said, hell no. Why? I don't know why. They proved it on the field. Why would somebody want to say that now? It's ridiculous. The team has proven they are the champion, period. End of story. There ain't no asterisk. So that was kind of the, I thought the theme afterward was just like this reveling in proving that we did it. I think, you know, Michigan players were in coaches, but certainly the players were questioned their skill, their talent, their preparation was questioned by the sign stealing stuff. When, you know, we don't know all the details, but for the most part, I don't know that anybody, any player knew exactly the depths of what was happening in the rule breaking. They were following coaching instruction. And so it's hard. It was probably hard for them to take that. There was frustrations expressed after the game. Colston Loveland was telling me about a player-only meeting they had in November where they met about the scandal and all the stuff surrounding it. There was some real frustration from the Michigan players, and it kind of let out after the game. And it was just one of the more unique. I get, you know, you always have the, oh, nobody thought we were going to win. We proved everybody wrong. Right. You always have that after championships. This was a little different. It was a little more intense, specifically because of all the scandal stuff.
Yeah, you know, I expected them to finally be able to talk. I mean, one of the problems, I don't know if it's a problem, it's just the way it works, is they're not allowed to talk. No one's allowed to say anything to defend yourself. So you have to sit there and take it. I think that, I mean, look, I've been pretty consistent that I thought the reaction to the as brazen and as outrageous as what went down was the advantage gain and the reaction to what that advantage gain was over the top and overblown. I don't think it's that significant. I think they all have each other's signs at the end of the day. It's not that it's not a violation, but whatever. And then really they benefited in a great way, coincidentally, by the way their schedule was so backloaded.
Yeah.
And so, certainly for the players, I would be like, "Screw you! We didn't have any advantage." With people not, you know, before Connor Stallions, they beat East Carolina, UNLV, Bowling Green, Rutgers, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana. None of them were close. They then Michigan State knew they beat them 49-0, Purdue knew. They beat them 41-13. They then lost Harbaugh. They go to Penn State. They win 24-15. They beat Maryland 31-24. It's probably their sloppiest game. Not a terrible Maryland team, whatever, but that's their worst result. They then, of course, beat Ohio State 30-24 without Harbaugh. They come back, shut out Iowa 26-0. And then they got Alabama. They beat them. And then they get Washington. And I will say this. They beat, they won on the road at Happy Valley. They beat a very talented, more talented team individually than them in Ohio State in a rivalry. They slayed the SEC beast with Alabama, very physical team.
Also more talented.
Also more, way more talented, 18 5-stars to 2. Then they win a shootout. They show up for the shootout, and Washington doesn't shoot. Right? It was kind of an ugly game, and Michigan should have put this thing away. But they didn't. But 34. And so certainly as a player, I'd be like, I could care less what the some guy on Twitter. But I think that it was I think they did the best thing they could have done when it hit to prove that this wasn't a big deal was win. I obviously said this numerous times in this podcast. I equated to Deflategate. The greatest thing Tom Brady did to make Deflategate look like the stupidest controversy ever was go win 4 Super Bowls after. And so we did. And I think there's something to say on that. So, whether or not they're innocent, as Jim Harbaugh said, I just think the asterisk talk is similar to people going, well, Georgia was better. Man, they're 15-0. They won.
Yeah. Yeah. And that – there is not an asterisk, in my opinion. Will there be a vacated title? Maybe. If you want a little history for you guys here.
Sure.
10 years ago, another 60-year-old won a national championship and got a tattoo to celebrate it.
That's true.
It was Rick Pitino and the Louisville Cardinals who beat Michigan. And then that title got vacated because of NCAA violations. So we'll see if this goes from title to tattoo to vacated.
Our boy has a tat. Yeah. He's going to get a tat.
Getting one.
He said he had no tattoo yet. If Harbaugh had said, I do have one tattoo, what would it have been? What do you think it would have been?
Like a lawnmower. A zero-turn lawnmower.
How about a big old glass of milk? Just a milk glass with milk in it, you know?
Real milk?
That's right. Steak.
Perfect. Yes.
Jack Harbaugh, his dad, and Jackie, his mom, were there. Jack said that he claims they told the chickens in the backyard and they were celebrating back in Ann Arbor. The chickens are running around like crazy after the this family.
It's an interesting bunch.
It's quite a crew. Jackie Harbaugh, the mom, 84 years old, has to be the sweetest woman of all time. I don't know how she was ever involved in this rollicking Yeah. group of nutcases. She was wearing a sweater and she had this little pin on it. It was a Rose Bowl pin, she thinks, from 1976.
Really?
And all that, yeah. I said, hey, John's going to win the can I interview you in 5 weeks at the Super Bowl? John's going to win the Super Bowl. You guys always want to go more than one game at a time. I don't know. The Harbaughs are the first family of football now. The Mannings don't do crap. There's only one Manning still playing. He's a backup. They're just pitching Caesar Sportsbook. And what are the Mannings doing?
Yeah,
Harbaughs are in the mix.
They're in the mix. That's until Arch steps up and becomes the savior. Then, yes, the Harbaughs are absolutely the first family.
Better players, but they're kind of retired.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was something else like Harbaugh said the other day where – or maybe it might even been earlier in the season or whenever, I don't know. But like, he can't conceive of not, if you play football, then you coach football, and that's it. You stay in football for the rest of your life.
He said it to Greg McElroy.
That's it. That was it. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Alabama quarterback wins national championship, and then he gets into broadcasting. He's a great broadcaster.
Yes.
He says to Harbaugh, he says, you're not in football. Harbaugh said, you're not in football, something like that. And he goes, no, I'm broadcast for ESPN. He goes, you don't love football? He goes, no, you coach. You play till you can't play any longer. Then you coach till you can't coach any longer.
So after the game, I ended up kind of getting lucky, and I stumbled upon Jack Harbaugh celebrating. And
I don't know if it was lucky. He was available for me.
Yeah. He was yelling and screaming and whatever, and he punched me multiple times in the stomach.
That makes sense.
As he was screaming, who's got it better than us?
We're and assaulted he wanted, by he, Jack Harbaugh?
Yeah, was assaulted, and he wanted us reporters to say back whatever, nobody or something. Yeah. And we're like, we're just stared at him. He asked the question like multiple, who's got it better than us? You come on, guys. And we just kind of stared. He's like, oh, your reporters can't say that, huh? And then he gave me a few jabs in the stomach. And they, so they're quite a group, yeah.
Yeah, no, that, hey. Punching people just kind of comes with the family. That
he really is Clark Griswold.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you can see them on the family vacation back in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
The wood-paneled station wagon. Mm-hmm. Yes. Everyone screaming. Yeah. Poor Joni Harbaugh. Yep. Just with these two clown show brothers probably fighting. She's stuck in the middle seat. Everyone just wants to stop at the Howard Johnson's and get a hamburger. And he's yelling as they're driving to the Jersey Shore or something down the Pennsylvania Turnpike. Who's got it better than us? Nobody. Like, it is quite a crew. I mean, here's the thing with Harbaugh. They go in. He shows up 9 years ago after being in the 49ers and returns to college. And Michigan needs him. They're not doing well. Brady Hoke, Rich Rod. I mean, they were 24-32 in Big Ten play over 8 years.
Yeah, it's bad. Really bad. Like, unconscionably bad.
Unconscionably bad. Michigan State is walloping them. Forget Ohio State. And it is bad. They need him. They get him. He comes back, and he starts rebuilding the program, but he immediately gets in a fight with pretty much everybody. Right, satellite camps.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
he's doing signing with the Stars.
Yep, spending the night with the recruits.
Yeah, he's like shirtless in like Pritchard, Alabama, at like a camp. He's calling the SEC a bunch of cheats.
Oh yeah,
everything you can possibly do. The other coaches, everybody hates him. It's total mayhem. It goes on. He ends up with this. Of course, this season, Connor Stallions. You have the hamburger debate. You're not honest. Spended twice for two different scandals in the same year, and yet there was a lawsuit for a little while against the Big Ten, but then that had to get dropped. All the mayhem he does, and then the stupid's like, hey, you're suspended. You know, like show a little contrition. Oh, I'll be on the chain gang and my kid's youth football game, and like I'll talk about doing McDonald's runs at halftime and like make fun of everything.
Calls them America's team because they've handled adversity.
This is what he does. Like, he's going to leave, and assuming he leaves, but either way, he's the champ. He just hurricane through the sport. Just hurricane through the sport. He didn't play by anyone's rules and just sort of, hey, we're going to win. Coach's ball, and now he's gone, maybe he's not, but it's like he needs that. I called him an agent of anarchy. He needs chaos.
Yeah.
He's just happy in the briar patch.
Thrives in chaos, thrives and creates it, yes, as you said there. And that, that some people are like that, and that's kind of the way they function best. And, I don't think that, he's so different than like a Nick Saban, whereas. Saban wants sameness all the time around it. We practice the same way. We eat our little Debbies. We watch the Weather Channel. Everything is the same for him. And Harbaugh's like, we're just like throwing shit at the wind here.
Showing animal attack videos.
Animal attack videos. Hmm. Compared to J.J. McCarthy throw to flicking a booger off your finger.
God.
Like, what? He had the bee comment. He said the hive benefits the bee, and the bee benefits the hive, or whatever.
What's good for the bee is good for the hive. He says
that it was good for the gander.
No,
the
he said what? He goes. I've expanded on the team. Schembechler, the team. Mm-hmm. Right. We've expanded on that, and so I'm thinking, okay, this could be profound. What's good for the bee is good for the hive, and what's good for the hive is good for the bee. Really? Do we really need to expand on that? Where the player is not understanding the team?
Yeah, it's too complex.
No. Too complicated of a theory? Look at the bees? I don't know. It wasn't totally dominant, but this was Michigan football today.
Totally.
They walk out. They just start running the ball. Donovan Edwards. The rebirth of Donovan Edwards shows up last game. Busts two 40-plus yard touchdowns in the first quarter. Both times, he has a completely open hole, does not immediately go to it.
Yeah.
But finds it eventually, and he's so fast, gone.
Yeah.
They're up 17. Is it 17-0? 17-3. Mm-hmm. Looks like they can knock them out. They don't, but in the end, they score three. But Washington never could get anything going.
No, they couldn't. And that – so – I mean, yeah, the start, it honest to God, I thought this was going to be like Alabama-Notre Dame 2012, that they're just going to absolutely run them off the field, and it's going to be a physical mismatch up front. And, yeah, Donovan Edwards hadn't done anything all season. He had those unbelievable games at the end of last year where you had the big touchdown runs against Ohio State, and then he was good in the Big Ten championship game, and then he just disappeared this year, and all of a sudden, boom, boom. First two times he touches the ball, two carries, 87 yards, two touchdowns. And you think, my God, Washington's just on skates here. And credit to Washington for regrouping, you know, for not letting them themselves just be run out of the building. But they were never a good enough team. Like, they're fighting uphill the whole way. You know, they got it to 17-10 at halftime. And you think, okay, watch out. They get the kickoff, start the second half. Here they come, and they throw an interception on the first play. And then it was just uphill, and they couldn't get there. They never got the offense going. Michael Penix was disappointing. Missed some open, big plays. Threw two interceptions. 13 points was their fewest yet under Kalen DeBoer. Two seasons under DeBoer. So the defense was fantastic for Michigan. A++ was Harbaugh's rating for Jesse Minter.
Course.
And you know, I mean, their secondary, they tackled great, they covered great. It was a very, very impressive all-around performance. And Washington, Washington will go back and say, man, I wish we would have showed up a little better than that.
Yeah, I remember thinking that you know, if Michigan got to maybe the 175 200 yard mark rushing, that they'd win the game. They had 174 after the first quarter, and they ended up finishing the game with 303 on 38 carries and four touchdowns. So they averaged 8 yards a carry. It's exactly what they needed to do to win the game, keep Penix as much as possible on the sideline, just run the clock and ground it out. And, yeah, in the end, in the fourth quarter, that's what happened. I think Washington probably would say – kind of won the third quarter coming out of halftime, but Michigan in the very end did exactly kind of what they did against Alabama. You know, they started to really wear them down in the lines. You don't ever see that from Alabama, but you saw it in that game, and you saw it again tonight. Penix, you know, Pat and I were at the Sugar Bowl. It looked like a different person.
Yeah.
Tonight, I don't know if it was, you know, Michigan getting a little more pressure than Texas did. Michigan on the back end in coverage, the coverage was pretty good, but at times wasn't. I mean, there were 6 to 8, I guess, throws to a fairly open receiver that he just missed. Maybe a couple were miscommunication type things, but there were several that he just missed in the game against Texas. Literally, I don't think he missed a throw. It felt like that. It felt like he did not miss a single throw. So, you want to give some credit to Michigan, but it did not look like the Michael Penix that we saw just a week ago. And you know, it probably, I think I said this on the pod last week, when Washington's downfield game, when it's hitting, it's great, and it reminds me of like 2019 LSU, right when they're hitting, but when they're not hitting, they don't have much else.
No.
And man, that's exactly what we saw in this game. I mean, they ended up with 46 rushing yards, and Dylan Johnson, the running back, got hurt, I think, on his first carry, a re-injured injury on the first carry. He was dealing with a knee, a foot, an ankle. He was all banged up. So just didn't have anything else.
Yeah, there was the game was there for Washington. And I remember, I think Ross and I were sitting next to each other, so we were talking, and like midway through the fourth, like someone's going to kick themselves on this. You know, it was there were six straight punts between the two teams.
Yeah,
it was a 2013 game, and at any point, Washington could have tied it and gotten momentum, or Michigan could have put the thing away, and then finally they did, scoring a couple late touchdowns, and you know the. Huge, the really nice drive, 5-play, 71-yard drive that kind of busted it open. You know, he hit Wilson, he hit Corum.
The long pass to Loveland, right?
I said Loveland hadn't done much. Didn't do much against Alabama either.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good player, Colson Loveland, and that was a big, huge play that broke the game open. Michigan will just wear you out.
Yeah.
Those penalty, the pre-snap penalties again, we're all on Washington. You didn't see them on Michigan. They grind clock. They just get it. They just get it done. It's just a block and tackle to hell,
man.
Ross, honestly, you should trademark that phrase right now.
Yeah. Put it on shirts. Sell it in Arbor.
I screwed it up earlier.
We'll have to take off the Michigan versus everyone shirts.
Right.
So it's so much better
than Michigan versus everybody.
Yeah.
Block and tackle to hell.
Just the fundamentals. That's what they did all year. It stuck out to me when I went to that Penn State game, and it's what they did to Alabama. You could definitely tell, and Alabama used to do that to people.
Yeah.
And Michigan did it to them, and you saw tonight that they did it to Washington. Just some of the tackling by the defense tonight. The one-on-one tackling was truly a work of art.
It was epic. It
really was.
Sanders still had a huge one on the open field on the third down.
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you, Will Johnson is a complete football player. Mm-hmm. Oh. He can't just cover. He can tackle. I mean, he can do it all. That dude is going to be a top five pick after next season. He's got to come back for one more year.
Yeah.
Man, he's a good player.
I've never so many times that when Dan and I were sitting next to each other during the game, I never sat next to somebody and so many times leaned over in a game and said, damn, did you see that tackle? Yeah. Like, we did it like five times.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 2023. You don't ever do that. Or 2024 now. But you don't ever do that. I mean, that's really the bottom line, right? They tackle really well, and, man, they block right up front. And they have a quarterback who does just enough. He's a solid player. He had a big scramble, you know, earlier on a third down. He had that couple of those really good throws. He threw a rope really early in the game. But he had his struggles. We were putting together the attempt by attempt. I think he missed at one point five or six straight passes he missed. And they were fairly poor throws. So he's got some work to do. I'd be really interested, you know, to know if he's going to come back or not. I would think that he might – I don't know. I guess you can't beat 15-0 in a championship.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. I hate to pick on a kid that just won national championship. 10-18 for 140 yards.
Yeah. I mean, his production does not match Jim Harbaugh's hype where he says he's the greatest quarterback in Michigan history.
Yeah.
Well, I did re-listen. He was trying to say just the college part.
Okay.
The part where he brought up the pros, if you read the quote wrong, which I did, I read it. And, of course, it's Harbaugh, right?
Yeah,
so it sounded like he had declared him the great. What he was saying is he's not as good as Tom Brady in the pros.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Bold of him.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't made the pros yet. I mean, he's not as good as Harbaugh in the pros. But you know what? When he needed some runs, he made some runs. He did some stuff. Mm-hmm. I'll be interested to see what happens to this Michigan team. I mean, is Harbaugh back? We have no idea.
Right.
Clearly, he has got no fear of, like, I mean, it's funny. Most of these coaches, they flip out with any discussion that they might be leaving because it could hurt recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't remember a coach at this level. When was the last time there was a national championship level coach getting speculated about leaving?
Oh, man. Mm. I don't know. In football, it's been a long time. So, yeah, this is rare and it's unusual. And But that's the thing. I mean, you know, and his answer has always been the same for a couple of weeks here. It's just like, you know, totally focused on this game, you know, one track, you know, that's all we're thinking about. Well, now, and that's, we hit the finish
line. You asked, yeah, you asked.
I asked, and then Andy Staples followed with a question too. And we got, you know, kind of a it wasn't an angry thing, but a kind of a lament from him. It was like, can't a guy just have once one day or whatever?
It's no.
Like, well, no.
No.
No, this is how this works. You're the one that's created the uncertainty.
Hell no. So. No. I mean, yeah. Well, he'll get his one day. I don't think he's sweating. I haven't talked to anybody. Yeah, but your agent is. You know, like, it's Black Monday in the NFL. I remember Billy Donovan in college basketball.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah, I remember people, he's going to go to Kentucky, he's going to go, and he's like, I'm winning, you know, I'm just, and he was a little coy about it, too. I don't know. So, I mean, he could leave. Obviously, you have a lot of players leaving, but others could stay. I would think J.J. McCarthy, I don't know. It's a much less anticipated draft class of quarterbacks next year than this year.
Right.
I mean, you got Ewers, and you got Shador, Sanders, and it's not this – kind of, I mean, there's a lot of great players.
Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a bunch of others, too. I mean, there's some good players out there. So, anyway, we will see. We'll see what J.J. McCarthy goes to. Anything else that struck you about championship game? Anything else that happened out there? I can report my Johnny Walker's done.
Congratulations.
Sources close to my Johnny Walker.
I got plenty of crown for the rest of the show.
At 2:01 when they shut down the Johnny Walker, I didn't get any of that. So, Dan was gracious enough to give me a very light beer to go along with.
Well, that's all they were selling here in Texas.
I know. They were out of their Hopadillos, the one kind of, you know, decent local beer they got, and they were out of that.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you know.
I'm not bitter.
Yeah, you're not at all, Pat. No.
Just a small operation here called the JW Marriott. Yeah. God forbid they, you know, really got to risk that liquor license. I'm sure they were coming to. I mean, of all the crimes going down.
Yeah, right.
In the state of
tonight?
Texas tonight.
Holy crap. Yeah, I'm sure the Michigan fans have just got
2:01 beer.
Wild.
That's it. That's the one law we're going to follow in Texas tonight.
Right.
That's it.
Guy with a big smile on his face. Texas state law. We're shut down.
Terrible.
Thanks.
Terrible.
That's so much.
Terrible. This is why you don't win. This is why you guys don't win. Longhorns, A&M, whatever. All right.
Well, I do have one other observation.
Okay.
Want to make on
and
that.
We'll go to break. Go
ahead. Just watching the Michigan players, and you see them on like media day, but you don't really get to see them. But watching them walk on and off the field, they are properly gigantic. You know, they look like a Georgia. They look like an Alabama. And that's where Ross is block and tackle you to hell or to death or whatever. Like, they have the bodies to do that. And that is one thing that still remains largely undefeated. If you want to win a national title, you have to be huge and physical and athletic. But if you don't have that up front, you may not quit. You can go a long way, but you may not be winning a national championship.
So, obviously, you got Ohio State fans all, you know, they were all crying. Fair enough. Then you got all the tainted title people. The Georgia, though, people are saying they're the best team.
Sigh.
Can you have some pride, Bulldogs? Yeah. Can you have some pride?
They had the chance.
You won two. Yeah, yeah. Like, we got to get over this. The playoff is here now. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. This is like the Super Bowl. The New England Patriots went 18-0 and lost to a team that went 9-7 in the regular season, the New York Giants. And you know who is the Super Bowl champions? The New York Giants. It doesn't matter how good that Patriots. You don't get to be like, well, we lost, but we still win. This isn't Florida State, and like that year they lost to Notre Dame and then won it because Notre Dame lost.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's yes. We
Enough.
Have a better system of choosing a champion, and Georgia had its chance, and Georgia lost to Alabama. Period.
I feel like the SEC fans are just like, we're not win. it's not valid.
Yeah.
Sorry.
How can we get in this? How can we get
yeah,
into
yeah,
this?
Yeah, we're totally ignored.
Yes, how do we get into this?
The world went on without you people.
We need a do-over.
Georgia had a chance. Mm-hmm. They had it right there on the field in Atlanta. And they were whatever favorites to win that game, and they lost. That was it. And right now in college football, under the current and last version of the playoff, that that's what we have, right? And if you don't win those type of games, you don't get in. And that's why, in a way, it's one of the drawbacks, one of the few, I will say, drawbacks to the new format, is that the magnitude of those games probably are decreasing at least a little bit. You know, one thing is this time... Damn it, Dan. Dan finishes Johnny Walker and everything goes on set.
Starting to get a little squirrely here. I'm a little bored.
This time. We had a little static break.
The only reason I was doing this podcast because I had a cocktail, and now the cocktail is done.
It's gone.
And so why am I still doing this?
It's 2:55 a.m. Central, 3:55 Eastern. Sean's looking at us like, would you idiots get going?
Don't tell the governor of Texas because we might be breaking a law.
That's true.
Right.
That's true. So in the Galveston room.
I was trying to say was this time next year, we'll have 11 days left in the season, boys.
Oh my God.
We will be currently playing the 9th and the 10th of January next year will be the semifinals of the CFP. And the championship game is on January 20th next year. So buckle up. Look, how about this? When the championship game starts next year, there will be at least a couple teams that same week that will be starting spring practice.
Oh, God.
Usually Liberty, and there's a couple others that start the last week of January.
They have got to get serious about the schedule.
Yeah, the calendar needs.
They need to, like, and they need to tell, Army, Navy. I know that none of them will have the courage to do this, but.
Well, that's a big hang-up.
Get out the way.
That's a big hang-up. Leading into CFP discussions, here in Houston, were had earlier today before the championship game. CFP Board of Managers met. The gist was they did not yet approve, like they were supposed to, the switch from 6+6 playoff format to 5+7. The Pac-12 wanted them to delay the vote for a couple of weeks for the Pac-12 to the Pac-2, I guess now, to do their thing. But in 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, Mark Keenum, the CFP chair, said he would be shocked if in 2024 the playoff is not a 5+7. So we're going to get there. It's taking a while like everything else. And we're going to get to a TV deal pretty soon. It sounds like ESPN has reported that ESPN. How about that? Pat, do you want to weigh in here? ESPN reported.
Sources close to ESPN.
Sources close to ESPN reported that ESPN might get the bid, win the bid.
It was Pete's greatest sources of all time.
Yeah. And ESPN declined comment on ESPN's reporting about ESPN maybe getting the CFP bid.
That's tremendous.
Right.
Sources, who might be sources. My bosses.
That was Yahoo Sports comment on the matter right there.
I don't know. Hey, got the story. Yeah, there's only one network that wants it. That's the problem. They waited too long and the bids are not coming in.
Well, maybe not wants it as much as can afford. Can bid high enough? I guess
bid high enough.
And we got to remember too. Part of this thing with the ESPN,
CW does want it. I was told. Gas station TV is available.
We have to remember,
Rose Bowl.
Pump Stick's still holding on for Oregon State, Washington State. Come on, man.
We do have to remember one thing, and that is what was that one thing?
I don't know.
ESPN owns the rights to the last 2 years. So they own all the bowl games. So they own the championship game. They own the championship game for the next 2 years. They own the semifinals and they own the quarterfinals. The only thing left out for bid is the first round, the four first round games. And ESPN has first right to match anybody else. So it was going to be hard for this to be pulled from ESPN anyway. They could sublicense some games. Who knows? Random Twitter tweet I'm reading from Jessica Smetna. She's with the Dan Le Batard Show. Connor Stallion's championship ring will be worth millions one day, she says. Thought that was pretty funny.
Will he get one? Might.
He's got to get one. Secretly, he's got
to get one. Everybody was looking to see if he had snuck down on the field, right? I was.
Oh, I had my eyes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Whatever.
Every dude on the sideline looks like Connor Stallion.
They
that's the
problem.
Yeah, well, he shaved the head, though, now.
Right.
So.
Yeah, but you put a cap on.
Well, you could.
Okay, AP poll is out.
Yep, the final AP poll.
Michigan, number one.
Shocker.
Oregon was number two?
No, Washington.
Oh, Washington was two. They had it. I saw a bad.
No, the interesting part was 3, 4, 5. So it's Michigan 1, Washington 2. But then it's like Texas 3, Georgia 4, Alabama 5, and I just don't think they knew what to do with all those. And that
sports
maybe
writers
that's the best
not
order.
Sure what to do. Okay.
Yeah. We're usually not indecisive at all.
Yeah.
If you could tell from my recent
decisive at the bar
podcasting.
I will tell you this, as far as an inkling of what's to come, and we'll talk about we're gonna talk about the too early top 24.
Oh yeah.
Top 25.
Let's do a top 24.
But
I love top 24. I like
2024,
it.
2024, top 25.
Yeah, yes.
Anyway.
That's just already given up. You can't even finish the assignment.
Five
24.
Future SEC teams, 4 future Big Ten, 1 ACC. That's your top 10.
Yeah.
So,
well,
get ready.
Future
for hegemony.
Before we get to that, Ohio State did in the middle of Michigan winning the national title, sends out word that Ole Miss running back Quinshon Judkins, who's a hell of a player,
yeah,
has committed to Ohio State. Make the announcement during the
game. Oh. You're trying to look.
I totally missed that. What? What happened?
You hear that?
No, I didn't hear that.
I didn't hear that.
I totally missed that.
Quinshon Judkins, who had all the big year at Ole Miss.
Yeah,
and
I mean, one of the best restaurants. One of the best running backs in the
SEC. Not doing well. Right
one of the best running backs in the
restaurants?
SEC. One of the best running backs in the SEC. Going to the Big Ten, huh?
Yes, and when he left, which was a big shocker.
Yeah.
Now there's all sorts of video of he's not that wasn't like
I do
the
recall,
Ole Miss people
yeah.
started being like he wasn't a team player. Well, I don't care. He's the whole team. Kiffin put out a tweet of a shark like catch and release. Called it the shark.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He was like letting it go, and then but in the middle of Michigan winning the national championship, we get a big Ohio State commit. I don't know if that's supposed to make Ohio State fans feel better. Maybe it does. Maybe not. It's just sort of like kind of.
It was absolutely intended to make them feel better. Yeah.
Oddball like, timing.
In the midst of your absolutely bottomless misery of watching
that?
Michigan
I don't know
win
that,
this thing.
Well, it just was out. I mean, like, look, if Ryan Day says, hey, wait a day, wouldn't you wait a day? Although maybe not.
Yeah. I don't think they wanted to wait.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just was kind of.
He's a stud, though.
He is a stud. Ohio State's going to be great next year. They always look good on paper. Number 5 in the I'm looking at the ESPN way too early.
Mm.
Schlaybach.
A good friend Mark Schlaybach.
Mark Schlaybach was on that. Georgia number 1. No, I mean, of course he picked Georgia number 1. So, he's a big Georgia guy. But Georgia certainly has plenty of reasons to believe that they could be. Texas is number 2. Oregon number 3. Alabama Crimson Tide number 4, Buckeyes 5, Michigan 6. I have absolutely no idea what this Michigan team would even look like.
Yeah, they're the hardest team to predict in all.
How
this,
are they 6 if JJ doesn't come back?
Yeah, they are the hardest team to predict. That's I Schlaybaugh clearly stole my notes because my top 6 is 1 Georgia, 2 Oregon, 3 Texas, 4 Alabama, 5 Ohio State, 6 Michigan.
Are you accusing Mark Schlaybaugh of the infiltrating your Seabury. Intelligence?
Signal stealing.
Was
yes.
it really that hard to come up with that list?
No. But it's also a ridiculous crapshoot. We don't know where the portal's going, and we certainly don't know what's going to happen with the Michigan roster. Who's the coach? Who's
I
the
need
quarterback?
Content, Pat. I need content.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know.
But
anyhow, so this next year is going to be so heavy, SEC Big Ten. And if you look at the schedule.
Arizona 9.
I got Arizona 10.
Notre Dame, that's not SEC or Big Ten either.
No.
Washington that, Huskies,
that's
11.
That's it, though. I mean,
Penn State, 12. Yeah. Utah, 13. LSU, Oklahoma, FSU, Tennessee, Oklahoma State, Clemson, NC State, Kansas State, Louisville, Kansas, SMU, and Iowa.
I refuse to rank
Iowa. Well, you said top 24 earlier, and they're 25. So.
Yeah, you only do
didn't make the cut.
Pat only does the top 24.
That's right. That's right.
Kind of lazy.
We're,
you know,
we're,
like,
look,
give 110%, Pat gives 90%.
We're all
90% effort.
We're all going to have to get used to this SEC Big Ten domination.
There's only 2 teams.
I mean, I was doing the when the CFP moves to the 5+7, and I was crunching the numbers now. These numbers get a little kind of murky, but I went back 10 years on what, you know, the conferences that get teams in to a 5+7 CFP. SEC and Big Ten combined 73 qualifying teams. Everybody else, 47 in the last 10 years. Now, again, those numbers will probably change because I was kind of anticipating the way I was doing. I was anticipating there'd be 9 leagues, and you know, everybody that's moving a league, I was anticipating that they're in their new league. So records would be probably different. But look, it's going to be, and everybody kind of knows it. Like all those commissioners in that room know what's coming, and that's why the fan reaction to the move to the 5+7 has been weird to me. It's been a lot of like, wow, why would the Group 5, you know, vote for this? Why would even the Big 12 vote for this? Why would the ACC? Look, if you don't vote for it, especially if you're the Group of 5, you know, the SEC and Big 10, all they have to do is say, we're going to take our ball and we're going to go over here. And that's really all that has to happen. And, you know, Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti are the SEC and Big 10 commissioners are, you know, I mean, they're talking a lot lately. And I think they're probably on much, much better terms than the last version of the two. So I think that everybody should be okay with the 5+7 and move on. But we all have to get used to a lot of SEC and a lot of Big Ten.
And a lot of losses. A lot of losses. Yep, I mean, you look at the schedules for next year.
Yeah, it's going to be 9-3. Yeah. It's going to be 9-3, 11 seed.
The schedules are hard for these teams. USC next year plays LSU, Michigan, Penn State, Washington, and Notre Dame.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Michigan's got Texas in the non-con, too.
Yeah.
Oklahoma's 24 schedule, I think, might be the worst.
Can't be worse than USC.
Florida's last 5 games in the SEC. It's the worst 5. It's the hardest 5 games I think I've seen in a row. I think I
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Napier's got to do well early.
Yeah.
Okay, so early on, I mean, we got Temple, Houston, Tulane, although Houston and Tulane certainly.
Yeah.
Tennessee at Auburn, Texas, South Carolina at Ole Miss, Maine at Missouri, Alabama, LSU. At LSU.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
It's tough.
Here's Florida's last 5 games of this coming year. Georgia in Jacksonville, at Texas, LSU in the Swamp, Ole Miss in the Swamp, at Florida State.
Yeah.
It's
I like how they put SEC championship.
And then who SEC, I'm looking at their schedule, And then it has on there December 7th, Saturday, TBA on time, but SEC championship.
No, it's at 4 Eastern. I know when it is.
That's right. TBA it's always on the same.
Teams.
TBA on team.
No, well, you're
probably not going
to
be one of them.
Florida ought to know when to tune into the game because at the end of the day,
even their other schedule, they open with Miami. They've got Texas A&M on the third game, and it's a brutal schedule. We're all going to have to
I'm fine with it. I think that if you're these people that are like, oh, my God, it's going to be a 3-loss team. I get in the okay, I can't deal with it. You are a freaking moron.
Yeah. All right. Well,
you are a moron. Would you prefer – is a team better because they beat Maine 3 times or do they play real games? Get over it.
Yeah.
Well, get over it.
The 3 words we are going to hear over and over and over and over and over from the SEC and the Big Ten are strength of schedule.
And they're going to have it.
Yeah.
They're going to have it.
Can I add in something here? Look at this great tweet from Mount St. Helens.
What?
Michigan. Hold on. It's a
Mount
tweet
St. Helens on Twitter?
From the official Mount St. Helens account. Michigan still doesn't have any volcanoes, so they are still.
What?
This have y'all been following this? It's been going back and forth. Yeah, it's been going. So the
Mount St. Helens against who? Like
Mount St. Helens is damn salty.
It was like the Michigan.
That's what volcanoes are. They got a high threshold, but when they get pissed, you're going to hear from a damn volcano.
I think the Washington, like state of Washington, was critical. Had been critical of Michigan for not having mountains and volcanoes and all this stuff, and then Michigan, the state of Michigan, has been critical of Washington for not having different things. Like one of the things was you don't have Wolverines or whatever.
I did see some of that.
Yeah.
I mean, volcanoes are pretty badass.
Volcanoes are pretty badass.
As a resident of Michigan, I got nothing to say to Mount St. Helens. I ain't messing with that.
You don't want them pouring lava. Pouring lava in your yard, man.
They were going to come after you. That thing is going to come after you. All right. There's probably more that we were supposed to discuss, but we got to get to this Bass Pro Shop incident.
Mm. Yes, wheelhouse topic.
Leeds, Alabama. There's a couple Alabama stories here. I don't know if I'm going to get to all of them, but this is why Alabama needed to be in the championship game, because they needed to be distracted. They got nothing to do.
So they just run to their...
They just went crazy.
Run to your nearest Bass Pro Shop, strip down,
well, there's
and jump
this other
the
guy who jumped in an urn.
Oh, Lord. Was that an Alabama guy?
Yeah, yeah. Hell,
oh,
yeah.
Man. How do you jump into an urn? Well, how big is the urn?
It's a big urn.
I guess so.
It's a big urn. So he jumped in, and then he got stuck in the urn.
somebody tweeted that out tonight with as a meme and said, like... this is Michael Penix tonight or something.
Stuck in the urn?
It was bad.
When he got out, he didn't have any pants. I don't know how that happened. I don't know what happened.
A lot of nudity going on in
Alabama.
I've never been stuck in an urn. How do you know if you can keep your pants on while in an urn? You've been there? You've been stuck in an urn? I have not.
Plenty.
He broke the urn. He got out. And then this guy at the party tweeted out a detail. So it was obviously very, it was very embarrassing for urn guy. Here we have, this is a Twitter account through the playbook. Earn guy is up and moving around, but now without his pants.
Lost
a great
or
quote.
Damaged in the incident.
That's a
which
great
apparently
quote.
Lost or damaged in the incident. Everyone seems fine with this. Okay. Hey.
All right.
He wants a cigarette. And he wanted a double makers on the rocks.
I'll get to it. He wants a cigarette. He deserves a cigarette.
He asked for a double makers?
He wanted a double makers on the rocks. I gave it to him, and now he's drinking alone and having a cigarette, still pantless in the corner of the yard.
And you've been in an urn. I guess you got to, you know.
Looks like a friend is trying to usher him to an Uber. Okay. Happy New Year, everyone. Stay safe out there. Remember, decorative urns are always bigger from the outside. The guy has emerged, and he goes, "I am the urn guy." Yeah, it's amazing video. Connor stuck in the urn.
People do some stupid, don't they?
Thank God.
These things happen.
Gives
all
us
right.
Content.
So then we got this other guy. He was a man in custody. He was en route to he was going to mental treatment. Okay, so a 42-year-old man was reported to be acting erratically. I would say so. He drove his vehicle into a pole outside the Bass Pro Shop in Leeds, Alabama, Thursday night. After the crash, he got out of his vehicle, took off all his clothes, ran into the Bass Pro Shop, and then cannonballed into the aquarium. I think you've seen the picture. I think you've seen the video. What you haven't seen is something. It was something not there.
A Penix?
He was missing his Michael Penix.
Like, what? Missing it? What do you mean missing it?
Well, if there is one, did you see the picture?
No. There's a
hold
pic,
on.
I mean,
Bass Pro Shop.
Did you should not be readily available.
Hey,
it's available.
Did y'all see what Sean just texted us?
No.
I think it's a suggestion that we may be drinking too heavy, Sean. Sean.
Did he say don't do
he
this?
He said the bar should have closed at 1:45 and not 2.
This is the... Okay, hold on. I'll find this.
What are you trying to find?
Picture of that guy.
Oh,
I don't want to see it, but Pat does.
Oh, there it is. There it is. There it is. There it is.
But that's like blurry.
Yeah. Well,
they blurred it out, didn't they?
No, there were
blurry,
pictures.
Frankly. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear. Oh, gosh.
Oh, wait.
Yeah. Oh dear!
Whoa!
Okay.
Whoa!
It's cold in the
cut.
It's cold. Cut. All right. We'll end it there.
It's a great time. We enjoyed that. Can we put a bow on it?
Roll Tide.
We enjoyed the 2023 football season.
With that concludes the.
I'm outraged on behalf of the bass that were in the aquarium. That
terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Subjected to this intrusion.
Thank you all for listening all season.
Yeah.
Yes.
The real
another
fun
one
begins
in the
off season.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
We're ready to get going.
I used to be excited about the season ending and work kind of slowing, but these days, nope.
Doesn't end.
Nope.
Doesn't end.
It does not end.
We'll be back Thursday.
Yep. I'll be live from the convention in Phoenix.
Ross will be out.
I'll
here
be at
in
the
Phoenix
convention as
you
well.
You both will be. No, I'm not going to any convention.
Well, you might be going to a convention, but not the one we're going
not
to.
Not that one. We're going to the Bass Pro Shop in Leeds either. We will. Thank you. Continue to subscribe. We will talk to you later.